We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
He's an elite game manager in the Alex Smith mold, but he can also give up a game, whether it's through the fumbles or a couple picks. So I think the Niners win it at home, but the Rams will handle it down at the
college. Well, Colley. I'm just glad That's possible. I think it could happen that way. But now when the music comes, when we finalize that one, because you said that you had the prison bed.
This entire segment's been marked for some of the preposterous things you've said. Right. We actually started a whole new file folder. I've been communicating back at the home office. So just so you know, The tape has been marked. The tape is just all marked now. It's just one blue streak from that old blue pencil.
Actually, from now on going forward, you have to say unmark the tape if you want to go off the record. Because everything's literally being marked at all times.
Perfect.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com station. Good morning and welcome to Boulder Ridge Golf Club in San Jose, where we are live for our annual station golf tournament. Low, dressed the part in all Rams gear. Todd Gurley.
Whoa!
Dibs in sweatpants for a round of golf on a day that's probably going to be quite hot. It's exactly what you would imagine here.
Yeah, it's trending like that, huh, Joe?
It's not going to burn off. I'll prison bet that right now.
Oh.
Whoa.
What do you want to do? Anyone want to wager? You want to wager? Burns off by
you better unmark the tape right here, Dibs.
He's prison betting the sun right now.
Sunny weather and hot weather in San Jose.
Man,
I'll take it.
That's real risk there, Coach.
Oh,
minus 10,000.
The Raiders, we didn't get on this yet. Donald Penn has agreed to restructure his deal. They are going to end up paying him more money. He's going to get more guaranteed up front so they could restructure the deal, free up a little cap space now. It gives Penn a little flexibility down the road, a little bit more security. I don't have the exact details in front of me. A lot of people are excited because they think this is the first step in trying to free up money for Khalil Mack, but there's not that much money being freed up. This could be for something else. It's certainly not for Khalil Mack because that's going to be 20-some million a year. This is just moving around a few million here and there. So by and large, I guess it means Penn is going to be on the team this year, probably not going to be cut, which is good news because I don't think Gruden wanted to consider moving Colton Miller to left tackle, did you?
Right. No, he's the left tackle of the future, but the future's not here yet. If you do have Colton Miller...
Well, it's here now, because technically, when you said that, 5 seconds ago, so now we're in the future.
That's actually one of my life philosophies. Later is now, but not until later, so you live in the now. You know, everyone wants to talk about later, but later won't be now until later. Now is now. But I digest.
You should get an endorsement from the candy now and later.
That's not bad. I'm too busy
right
working
now
on Nestle ice cream and Dibs.
Shout
out to our sales department. I've only worked here 7 years.
Dippin' Dots. Nice.
They just have Dibs, straight up Dibs. Those little.
I don't need them anymore because of that.
Yeah, I think last week you
I used to like them, and then I saw them the other day, and I was in a mood for them, and I was like, I can't eat this.
I work with this jabroke.
Yeah,
I got to deal with this every day.
Yeah.
I'm stuck between jamoke and jabroni.
I know. I
so you get jabroke, which I feel jabroke in my sweatpants.
A little lowism right there.
Thank you.
I think this is great, though, because if you could mark the tape, I think you were...
Enough with the tape markings.
Okay, unmark it. I think last week, Dibs, we were talking, you said Penn's gone. I said no.
No, you said he's gone.
No, I told you to.
Simply was relishing in the fact that he held out, he comes back, he gets his new deal.
No, we do need
and
to
then
all right,
go
all
ahead
right,
and blow
all
up
right,
his
all
deal.
Right. Let's relax.
I'm quite sure that there were statements in saying, when you see this, that he's going to be gone. And I said, no, you can't get rid of Penn because you're going to throw a rookie out there. You can't do it. And I said, Penn will not be cut. Said he was going to be on this team because he's still a good tackle. And we talked about that. So I just wanted to make sure that we understood the guy still can play, and you're going to have to use him. And we talked about being 30
sure,
on the wrong side of 30.
Coming off of Liz Frank.
Yeah, and saying that there wouldn't be any suitors. Told you he'd get picked up the next day. And the Raiders knew that, so they restructured his deal. So it's kudos to the Raiders making it happen.
Yeah.
Brad Donald Penn's got another year.
I think it's hilarious that a player holds out for a new deal. Last year he holds out of camp. I want a new deal, folds his arms, stomps his feet, gets a new deal, comes out, gets hurt, And then in the offseason, that new deal that he worked so hard to get, because I'm holding out because I want what's coming to me. Guess what, Donald? You need to take a pay cut. Why don't you come on back in, and we're going to give you a new deal again. So all that holding out you did, it basically amounted to what? Not
money
a lot.
Money up front? Yeah, dude.
Sure, money up front, but the organization is not in a better position. Your team's not necessarily in a better spot. And yet, Donald Penn was able to hold out for it, and now he's got to take a pay cut. So,
but how would you say that when Derek Carr wanted a new deal, and he got a new deal, and he got hurt? And the guys got hurt. He wanted a new deal. He was saying, I want my new deal. He got hurt that year, got the new deal, got hurt. Team wasn't any better for it.
He didn't hold out, though, Coach. And that to me is the signature difference in all of this, because you have a person under contract, and yeah, you could want more money. I'm sure you want more money in your job. All of us around this table could probably say that. But if you're under contract, you're not going to hold out. You can't hold out. Maybe you can. It's your decision. Derek Carr didn't hold out, and he got a new deal. Donald Penn held out, got a new deal, but then his deal had to be reworked for obvious reasons.
I was talking to a bookmaker in Vegas yesterday, one of the smartest minds around, Ed Sammons from the Westgate, and we were talking about the AFC West. And last year, it was fascinating because the news had come down in the offseason before last year that they were going to be moving to Vegas. So obviously there's a lot of buzz in Vegas. Bookmakers need to be aware of the fact that they're going to take more money on this team than ever before because people want to get behind the, quote, new home team. So they came in, they met the Raiders, they played them over on the win total, they played the futures, you saw all the numbers drop, and then the Raiders struggled last year. And by the end of the season, people stopped betting them because they weren't scoring. Everybody, when true to their core, they love scoring. That's what they want to get behind, whether they admit it or not. So I was asking him, how are you seeing the Raiders this year? How are you envisioning them? The fans aren't betting them. The residents of Vegas aren't betting them like they used to, just because they weren't as exciting last season. But they have seen some money. The interesting part was I asked him the move to John Gruden. How much are you weighing that? How much does that change the lines? He goes, honestly, kind of see it the same thing as Del Rio. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have faith in Gruden, but they don't have enough right now to sit there and be like, dude, this guy's going to be a game changer. Vegas is viewing the Raiders situation as very up in the air. Maybe this guy can come in, and maybe he's as great a coach as some people remember, or maybe he will flame out. But they are right down the middle on this. They're not playing it one way or another. They think there's a lot of uncertainty with the Raiders, which I think is what a lot of people have projected coming into the season. And it could go a variety of ways. But Vegas is not looking at it as Gruden's going to come in and add four wins or that Gruden's going to come in and be a disaster. They're playing it right down the middle like they did last season.
It's fascinating.
I thought that was really interesting because I thought all that hype coming out of the booth would have been enough to be like, yeah, we're going to see some action. Maybe we up the win total by half a game or something.
Yeah, I wonder if it's not uncertainty that surrounds the roster, whether it's Khalil Mack or the fact that Gary and Conley, we're not sure if he's going to be a good player. Obi Melifonwu.
Back at practice.
That's good news. Shout out GC. Hope he can stick and stay and be able to hang in out there. New punter, new kicker. Questions with Jordy Nelson coming off injury. Across the board, I think there's a lot of guys you're unsure about.
Who plays more games this year, Gary and Conley or Richard Sherman? Prison bet.
Good question.
Prison bet, for those who don't know, if you're right, you get $3 million. If you're wrong, you have to spend a year in San Quentin.
They got me locked up.
I'd go to Richard Sherman. Plays more.
You think he will appear in more games this season than Gary and Conley? Which way are you going?
I'm going to go with Richard Sherman also. It'll be a...
Wow.
Yeah.
The 30-year-old coming off the Achilles, both of you prison bet that he'll play more than Gary and Conley.
Because he'll play when he's hurt, and he'll put it on the line. That's what you know about Richard Sherman.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be a 12-10 final. Sherman 12, Conley 10. Vitamin deficiency. I mean, that's a real thing, right, for Gary and Conley. So... If he does get hurt, though, if it's a bone break or a related injury, it might take him longer to get back, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's not a good sign that a guy who's young, first-round pick, I mean, you would figure what we should be saying is it's Conley. Are you kidding me?
It should be easy. Conley.
Sherman's back at practice, too, although I don't think we're going to see him at all in the preseason. Should we?
No.
I mean, do you even want him out there getting any reps?
No, and they said Sherman's been a lot more aggressive at practice, and they say now he's really trying to hone in on his skills and say, okay, be more aggressive, getting the guys going. So I think that you're going to see him first week without a doubt. I think Sherman's doing a great job doing his rehab and getting back. I was really interested with the Gruden thing that you said because I'm on the side that even though they don't have Khalil Mack, they'll still be better because they're going to be tougher.
You do like him this year.
They're going to be tougher. They're going to be more disciplined. And Carr will throw way less interceptions. He's going to know where to go with the ball. Gruden is a guy that's going to say, here's the coverage. Boom, I want this ball coming out here. It's cover two, the middle of the field. Bam, you look this way, and that's where it's going to go. Trust it. Let it go. Cover four. Gruden is going to have them very buttoned up as far as going with the ball and consistency and being a tougher team. Without a doubt.
I was going to say, in keeping with your question, who plays more this year, Reuben Foster for the Niners or Khalil Mack for the Raiders? Because we know Foster's out for two. Who ends up playing in more games?
Mack.
Those two.
Mack. He's going to be around for week one. I don't think he sits. I don't think the holdout lasts into the season because then you start jeopardizing all types of stuff.
So you give Mack the win 16-14.
Yeah, and also Reuben's been banged up a few times too, so I think if you were going to set odds on that, you'd have Mack as a favorite, probably not a healthy favorite because the public sentiment is, "Oh, he's not going to play."
Right.
He's really upset.
Or he'll get dealt
the nature
or whatever.
Of the business.
Okay.
All right, good stuff. Let's talk to Greg Poppin next.
Let's do it.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues live from the Boulder Ridge Golf Club in San Jose, sponsored by Kona Brewing Company and Benjamin Moore Paint.
Great to have you with us today as we are live from the Boulder Ridge Golf Club in San Jose. What's so exciting? You might as well bring into it.
He's a guy
he's
who...
He's laughing at people. You've seen it.
He over-promotes and he under-delivers. We have an expression when I went to grammar school. Big talker, Betty Crocker. This guy's over here making cakes. That's all I'm going to say.
That's Junior making cakes?
He's Betty Crocker over here. He's got all the recipes. He's got all the recipes, but no ingredients, Coach.
Who am I to talk? I used the restroom in the last break. I hit the dispenser. Yeah. Instead of firing vertically down, it fires horizontally.
Right.
I look down, I'm like, this is unbelievable. The entire shirt's ruined. Soap everywhere.
74 people washed their hands. One guy, it launched it horizontally.
That was going to be my next question. You had just used it. You're not covered in soap. Why? Did you not wash your hands?
No. And actually, what's funny is I shook hands with the listener gentleman who was in there before I washed my hands, which that was on him. He extended. I was clearly fresh off of handling my business. I know
Did you
how
wash to, your hands?
Of course. You want to smell them? When you push the soap dispenser, normally you have your hand underneath it, and then the soap doesn't shoot out. You either push too hard or you had a bad hand angle. It wasn't because it shot horizontally.
I guess I pushed too hard. It didn't redirect off the hand. It wasn't a redirect.
You basically K5 the soap.
That's the thing. I was in there. Tomas, our new friend's out. He's listening to the show. So we're in there. He and I are chatting. I'm trying to wash the hands. I push the button. I'm chatting. We're going back and forth, and I'm looking down. I'm like, what just happened? Why am I covered in soap?
It was catchable soap, and you just dropped
it. So, Boulder Ridge, thanks for having us. I'll expect, dry cleaning courtesy of my friends at rinse.com to take care of this mess I've got on my hands right now. But moving forward,
you are terrible.
I don't know. What were we going to do here? Papa in 8:30?
Yeah.
We got 10 minutes. This is going to be a long 10 minutes as I look around.
No, I just marvel at Dan Dibley, Joe. You guys start a conversation. And it's interesting how you're just going back and forth about, hey, the thing shot out, soap. He goes, his little rant, and then all of a sudden, in order to deflect what he did, he hits you with, oh, it was like K5. So he had to bring, you didn't catch
you
that.
You were doing nothing. You were just sitting there
Thank
minding
you.
Your own business.
Nothing. Yeah. Right. Nothing. Right. Yeah. And he deflect.
Apparently you're new to the show because that's how we do things around here. Doesn't matter if you're doing nothing.
Yeah, because he said.
You're in the line of fire, Coach. Shout out Clint Eastwood.
He said, oh, did you wash your hands? Ha, ha, ha. And of course you chimed in with your own little chuckle laugh. So you, by proxy, were a part of the bit. So that's why you got buried in a drive-by.
Even if you were on vacation, you probably would have gotten burned as well.
Without a doubt.
You know how it works around here.
Yep.
Let's address this, because this is catching fire on social media, and there are a lot of individuals who went away in. So you know what? We're going to put it out to the people. A's fans are not happy with the way last night is being portrayed this morning. To give you some context, Oakland with another big win last night over Seattle, 7-6. They've won 3 straight, 10 of 12. They're only 2 back of Houston for the division, 3.5 back of the Yanks for the first wild card spot. It's the hottest team in baseball. It's got a ton of young, exciting talent. By all accounts, this is a product people should be into. The problem is that it's a product people are not into. Last night drew just 10,400 people for the biggest series of the season to date. Dibs, you and I have a lot of friends that do Seattle radio. We're linked up with them on Twitter. They were all over this last night. This was a very big series for Seattle. It's a very big series for the A's. Yet this morning, when we come on and we highlight the fact that the story isn't the win, it's the fact that only 10,400 showed up for the biggest series of the season, you have to ask yourself, what's the issue? We're going to put it out to the people. Everyone is upset on social, the text line. We're hearing from everyone. So why don't you call us? 888-957-9570. Why didn't you go to the game last night? The fan base is tired of being presented a certain way. I understand that. The team's tired of being presented a certain way. I get that. But facts are facts. This is a winning product. It's an exciting product. Yet nobody wants to go see the product. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles last night, 45,000 people showed up for Dodgers-Giants, right? The Dodgers are in contention, and A's fans have let us know from the beginning, why are you talking about the Giants? They stink. Our team is much better. So why are the Giants drawing 30-plus, 35,000-plus routinely at home, 45,000 on a road for their rivalry game, yet for your big rivalry game, 10,400? Educate us. 888-957-9570. And also bear with us because since we're on location, it's not as easy to take calls.
Right. I think there's a number of different things at play here. First and foremost, this is a story not because we've decided to take shots at the Oakland A's. This is a story because of what Anna played in her update. Matt Chapman, your superstar player, in the post game, making an emotional appeal to the fans saying, please come out and watch us. So it was an A's player who has made this a story by his comments. So before you attack us for being mean-spirited, the A's are 37-12 over their last 49. That is mind-bogglingly good. That's better than a 750 clip.
Unreal.
That's better than Boston's been all year, and Boston's on a record-breaking pace. And I'll say this, Joe.
That's context right there. Nicely done.
Because 36-12 would be a 750 clip. They're 37-12 over their last 49. So,
and what are the what's the winning percentage of the Red
Boston's
Sox right
now? Boston's at 708. They're 85-35.
And they're 50 over.
The A's are playing at a 755 clip since mid-June. This is the hottest team this side of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, shout out Devin, took my kids to Waterworld over the weekend, and he spent some time with us, and I asked him, Devin, why haven't you gone to an A's game in 3 years? He's a guy who would go to 5 to 7 games each and every year. And he cites the same things that we hear all the time. The turnover of the roster, the fact that you don't know these guys anymore, you don't have the same connectivity to the product. And he even threw in the fact that you got to spend $40 on parking as a reason why he doesn't go personally. Even though tickets are affordable, it's not exactly a cheap day out. And so if it's not a product that you're attracted to, because you don't know the players for the most part, and we're talking about the casual fans here, it's harder to draw people in there.
It's really sad when you hear a player just after the game, after winning, get up on there and make a plea. No one asked him to say anything, and he talked about, please come out and watch us. That just goes to tell you that a guy walks into his ball club, you go in, you get to the ball club, you get there early, you get in the clubhouse, you get stretched, you get dressed, you eat, and you're doing those things. Come out for batting practice. You look in the stands, okay, people aren't here yet. And then you go back in and you come out and you're like, I'm playing here. And you look around and there's no fans. You're the hot, one of the hottest teams in baseball, and you're looking around as a player, as an athlete, and you're looking in the stands and you're like, my God, we are doing something that no one's doing, and we're not even getting any fans. It's disheartening. I'm telling you, guys are going to go do their job because they get paid. I get that. But you're not happy. You walk into a ball club and you look around and you have no home fans. You have no crowd. And you're still out there raking. You're still out there winning. And all of a sudden you look and you're like, man, what's going on? What are we doing? What did we do to deserve this? I'm telling you, players love walking into ball clubs or walking into stadiums in the crowd. You come on, as a fan, you walk in, it's energy in the place. When you go into a building, go to a Warrior game, it's energy there. And now you're playing. And you're winning? You're talking about what they do in Boston, the clip that they're over Boston, and Boston's got the best record in MLB, and look where the A's are.
37-12.
It's unbelievable. Gosh. And 10,000 people? Come on.
Last five seasons in Buffalo, New York for the Buffalo Sabres, 21-51, 23-51, 35-36, 33-37, 25-45, and then, of course, the overtime losses. The Buffalo Sabres are one of the most embarrassing, National Hockey League franchises in existence in terms of winning and competing. They take star players and routinely flip them for more prospects in the hope that they can eventually put it all together to make one surge. They have been rebuilding for years. Years. Last season, despite another turd of a performance, they averaged 18,563 people. They ranked 11th in attendance in the NHL. Their capacity, 99.8%. For every home game, 41%, 41 games. 41 home games, they damn near sold it out every night of the week. So don't tell me because of roster turnover and a bad product, that's why you don't want to show up. Those fans care. I know because my wife's from the area. Even when they stink, they show up night in and night out. And they got to drive through snow. They got to drive through ice. They got to drive through blizzards. It's during the school year. It's during weeknights. It's cold. It's dark. It's miserable. And the product stinks. And they show up every night. That's why we're opening it up to you. 888-957-9570. Explain. Biggest season of the year. Team's red hot. Best in baseball, like Dib said, over the last couple months. So why do they only draw 10,400? We'll start with Roy and Martinez. Roy, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Hey, listen, I'm a supporter. I got hats. I got shirts. I'm bringing my kids. I just went to a game last week. I got tickets for the Houston game. I'm going to go to some games in September. I got to tell you, I don't know that it's just Oakland, because when I was watching that L.A. Angels game, that stadium was hardly filled either. But I have to say that I'll put a plea out. This is Roy from Martinez telling everybody in Martinez, get out and see a baseball game. Now, there's one other thing I'd like to say about the A's. Last night's game, when they brought Familia in at the eighth inning, I knew right away he was in trouble, and I want to know why they let him stay in there and load up the bases. I mean, I thought they should have pulled him after the first batter. But go A's, go A's, go A's.
Roy Martinez and his token. This is Roy Martinez. Angels, by the way, averaging 37,459. They're seventh in MLB. The A's
and they stink.
Yeah, the A's are averaging 18-4 ahead of only Tampa and Miami, two teams that basically never draw, and people don't even watch baseball in Florida. So,
Eric in Oakland, thanks for the phone call. Eric, your thoughts?
You know, I'd love to get behind the Oakland A's, but I've been down this road several times. You know, the ownership is non-committal, has been for a long time. It's really difficult to follow a team when you know the ownership isn't even re-signing its top stars or trading away players. Even their manager, you know, I drive for a living and have the opportunity to drive different celebrities, different players. I drove Bob Melvin's wife and daughter last year, took them home, so I kind of know where they live. I happened to be driving by his house the other day, and he's got a
punchline.
God. He's got a what? You got to call back and let us know.
Not unless he got dumped because he's filled in the blank. He's got a, ooh, boy. We can play a little match game.
All right,
with that
let's
call.
Move through that. Now, wow. Now listen, honestly, though, let's be honest. We've thrown this out. We want reasons why. The first two phone calls have given us literally nothing, right? Is this not part of the problem? 10,400, and very simply, the radio station says, why? First two phone calls, nothing. Justin, Fairfield. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, fellas. No longer Fairfield. I'm out in Colorado. I listen to you guys on radio.com app. But I just moved out here a couple months ago. I haven't been in an A's game in years. And the reason is twofold. Number one, the Coliseum is an absolute dump. Nobody likes going there. Number two, you never know. Well, you do know that the ownership group is not going to re-sign these players. And it's hard as a fan to root for a team when you've got, you know, Chris Davis, sign him to a long-term contract. Chapman at third, sign him to a long-term contract. We want to see these players that are homegrown stick around for years. You know, I want to be able to buy my kids these jerseys. I want to be able to buy these jerseys myself. And you just can't do that. You have no confidence in this ownership group that any of these players are going to stick around.
Thanks for the call and hope you feel better.
I think that's Pop. The Greg Popper Report brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. If you are on hold, stay on hold. We will come back to you right after this. But Greg Popper joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Pop, you okay?
Yeah, this is Greg in Danville. I was driving by Bob Melvin's house. What the hell is that?
We like stalkers on our program, Greg.
Yeah, that was weird. Passed the moat, so I didn't decide to go in. You know, you guys, Joe, you're obviously new in town. We've been doing this for years and years. I did the A's games for 14 years, and I saw the evolution in the attendance at the Coliseum. When I first started doing them is right after they won the World Series in 89. And in 1990, they drew almost 3 million people. It's before the Raiders came back. It's when they had, I think, one of the greatest owners in the history of Bay Area sports, Walter Haas, on the team. And then Steve Schott and Ken Hoffman, you know, kind of stole the team from the Haases. Where it all changed, obviously, was when SBC, Pac Bell Park, AT&T Park was built. The Giants and the A's coexisted in the Bay Area for 32 years after the A's moved here from Kansas City in 68. Of those 32 seasons, 17 of the 32, the A's outdrew the Giants. It all changed when Pac Bell Park was first built and Bond started doing his thing. And, you know, every year the Bay Area would draw roughly 5 million people for baseball, and it was pretty evenly distributed between the two teams. When the Giants built that park and they were selling out every single night, they were drawing, you know, close to 4 million, 3.5, and the A's got down to 1.5 million. So when I was doing the A's, so it's a big change from the Bash Brothers when I first started in 1990. It flash forward 10 years, and the Mulder, Hudson, Zito, Giambi, Tejada, Chavez team, they didn't draw as well. Partly of what you're saying with the stadium being reconfigured, but really you go from poor owners to, I don't want to say worse owners, but less involved owners. Steve Schott, for all his shortcomings, loved baseball, you know, was a baseball pitcher. You know, John Fisher's hardly ever around. And it does trickle down. So last night was really disappointing. I think we knew the inflated numbers had been a product of them playing the Dodgers, the Giants, the free game, obviously. And then we were anxious to see what it would be last night. To get just 10,000 is very disappointing. Matt Chapman, who's also new in town, had a hell of a game last night. I think he had Dibs' drink order on the 19th hole today. Double, double, double. He was awesome last night. But it's just, it is what it is. So we could complain about it. It's really not the issue to me. It's to celebrate just how good this baseball team is, because they got a shot now to not only get into the wild card game, but they got a shot to win the American League West.
Without a doubt, Pop, they're the most exciting team going. I was telling Joe that their last 49 games, they're actually playing better than Boston has for the entirety of the season. So they're just that good, yet they draw 10,000. You look at those early years, they were averaging they were drawing 2.1, 2.2, even after AT&T Park opened. So isn't it really
But they went down from 2.9, and they had Mulder, Hudson, Zito.
To
2000s, the A's. That's when the A's first made the playoffs. Well, when AT&T Park opened,
right, that was in 2000, Pop, and the A's drew 2.1, 2.1, 2.2, 2.2. So the AT&T factor really wasn't the reason the A's attendance didn't dip at all, Greg.
Well, of course it was. If AT&T was not there, what would the Mulder, Hudson, Zito A's have drawn? They would have drawn a lot more.
Identical. If you look at the late 90s, before AT&T, the A's drew 1.2 and 1.4. They drew 1.2.
Dibs, the baseball team wasn't very good in the late 90s.
Greg, that's my point. If the A's put out a good product, wouldn't they have a chance to turn the attendance around if they had the right ownership?
No, they'd have to reconfigure the ballpark, but the numbers in 2000 were up from previous years in the late 90s, but the baseball team was much better. They should have been outdrawing the Giants, or comparable. The Giants were good those years. They made the playoffs, in 2000 and 2002, went to the World Series. The Giants were good. But the point is that the Bay Area is going to draw 5.5 million or so to watch baseball. When AT&T Park was built, or whatever it was back then, Pac Bell, SBC, the Giants sold out every single day. So there's a point where a baseball fan has a point, as a choice to make. They don't play on the same day. But had the Giants not built this beautiful baseball palace on the bay, those A's teams of the early 2000s would have drawn comparably to the Bash Brothers teams.
Pop, is it possible the Bay Area would be better off as a one-team town?
Well, we're gonna have that in football, so we're going to find out. I don't know. We've had this, Mark. No, who wants that to happen?
Well, I mean, it's the biggest series of the year, and they drew 10,400. I'm trying to figure out if the Bay Area can sustain two baseball teams.
Well, I don't know if that's the issue. The Giants would be happy. There's no question. The Giants would have an increase in their attendance. You can have this argument, Joe. You do it all the time. It's just as it is. The A's are not going to move. There really is nowhere for them to go. Tell me where they would move to. They've got to figure out their ballpark. They've got to get they obviously, the baseball team needs better support from the Bay Area. There's a lot of factors. But when they, in the month of September, and certainly if we have October games, they're going to begin to, that place will rock like it used to. But to say that the Bay Area would be better off to have the A's leave, why? Just because there were 10,000 people? There was 10,000 people that had something to do on a Monday night where otherwise they would not. So I don't know why that would make the Bay Area better if the A's left. It would make the Giants better.
It would probably make Major League Baseball better if they went to a destination where the fans would actually support them. Greg Papa here on 95.7 The Game. Greg, I want to ask you about the Raiders before we get too bogged down in this A's stuff. The Aaron Donald contract, which looks like it's going to be close to being signed. How does that affect the Raiders and what they might be trying to do with Khalil Mack in his contract situation?
I mean, everybody wants to line them together. I don't necessarily see it that way. The Rams situation is different. It just comes down to how much can you pay one player when you have a hard salary cap in this league. I think that's the one thing people are missing. They just say, well, pay Khalil Mack. The Raiders are going to pay, what is it, $177 million in their salary cap this year, no matter what. They may be a little bit under. They're very tight up against the cap. Some teams are a little bit lower. But it's not like baseball, where you have the Giants have a payroll that's three times the size of the A's. That does not happen in football. It's just, how do you want to allocate your money? Do you want to give one player 22 of 177ths? That would be what Khalil would make. So, look at how Bill Belichick builds his team. Including the quarterback, who a lot of you want to say is the greatest that's ever played, that he does not pay players. Once they reach a point, he gets rid of them, or he gets rid of them before. You know, even if he had Chandler Jones on his team, who led the NFL in sacks last year, I'm not sure Belichick would keep him. He just doesn't do it that way. You don't want the one big star. It's kind of like the A's and their lineup. You know, I look at, do they have a leadoff hitter? Is Marcus Semien really a leadoff hitter? But I see nine equal threats up and down the lineup. That's what Belichick wants in football. He does not want to have a weak spot, and he wants to have depth. So I know I'm making a long answer here. It's just, how much do you want to allocate for one player? And he's a hell of a good player. The numbers are tossing around now. It would be cheaper for the Raiders to even franchise tag him, and then it's difficult to do that once you play tag, because it jumps 25% every year. You get to a point where it's just not cost efficient. But I don't think it has much to do. The Rams are in a win now mode. They feel like they have a Super Bowl team. We'll see if their quarterback is good enough. But I think they're separate situations. The agents probably want to align it that way. And Joel Siegel, who is Khalil's agent, is probably hoping that Todd France goes first with Aaron Donald, and they can set the market. But, I'm not sure. We'll see what figure they come in at, if it's over $20 million a year.
Pop, what do you make of the Alfred Morris signing for the Niners? Is this mainly bringing in a body because so many guys are banged up for the short term, or do you think maybe there could be a bit more concern with some of these injuries, perhaps Breida or Jerick McKinnon?
Well, I think after we were talking to Cam Inman yesterday on the show, what he was saying, what he saw with this compression sleeve that McKinnon had on his calf, he may not make opening day in Minnesota. And then you've got Breida, obviously, with the shoulder. Who knows how long that'll be. So it all depends on where Alfred Morris is at in his career. Last year he was effective in Dallas, not as quite as good as I thought he would be. He's a tremendous zone runner, one of the best I've seen. He's built for this scheme. probably even better than any of the backs they have. So the question would be to me, assuming McKinnon and Breida get over their injuries at some point in the first, you know, few weeks of the year, would Alfred Morris would be better than Joe Williams? He certainly has the track record. They're completely different players. You have a young man in Williams who's never played, and you have Alfred Morris who's going to have his 30th birthday this year that's aging. Kyle's obviously, he trusts him. So he's a scheme fit. So I can see what I want to see, Joe, is how much they're paying him. I think that'll tell us a lot. Did they just give him the veteran minimum? Is he the guy you could cut opening day and bring back later because you have to pay the vets? Just, I think a lot will be told when we get the details on how much they paid him.
Greg Papa joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Pop, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing you out here on the golf course in a little bit.
Is there a younger Papa rolling around there today? You guys see a young guy?
Yes, I believe what not the youngest of the young, perhaps. Is it your youngest out here?
He's the youngest. He actually went 10 minutes after his older sister went. So he's the last of the five, and he's the last of the twins. So keep an eye on that guy. I don't want Lo. I don't want. Is Lo there today, by the way?
I'm here, buddy. I'm here.
Hell, Lo, have you heard the word yet?
No, I just love you. I love listening to you, Pops.
Yo, keep my youngest boy away from Dibs and Lo, please.
Oh, Greg, it's too late. It's the first thing he did when he came here. He came over and shook my hand. He's a classy young man. He's half of the bag, but don't let that affect you.
Mr. Dibley.
That's right.
For you bringing coffee to my dad when I was 2 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And look at that.
Nice. Nice on the way out, Pop.
Good stuff, Pop.
Yeah, that one will leave a mark.
Good to talk to you, Lo.
You too, bud.
All right, see you, Pop.
I love Pop because he's not afraid to burn it all down at the end. You know,
he will burn it down. He fits the show perfectly.
Love him.
We're going to go back to the phones with the A's fans in just a second. The number's 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. But I got to make a point first. And it's going to be a hard truth for a lot of people to hear. But I want you to hear it. And I want you to pay attention because a lot of you have asked this question and you're going to get the answer. And just because you don't like the answer doesn't mean it's not a truthful answer. 10,400 people showed up to last night's game against the Mariners. The product is exciting to watch. It's one of the best in baseball. And it's the biggest series to date right now. 10,400. Meanwhile, 45,000 showed up to Dodgers-Giants last night, right? 10,400. The fans don't want to be blamed. I'm not going to blame the fans. You say it's because of the stadium. You say it's because the team doesn't show loyalty to the players. It trades them so often, you don't want to buy a jersey. You don't like ownership. All that makes sense. But the bottom line here is that you're not watching on TV and you're not going to the stadium. So why do you expect the flagship to dedicate large portions of time to talking about the games? This is something we have heard about for the longest time. You're the A's flagship, but you talk too much about the Giants. Giants rate. Giants are interesting. Giants bring loads of people to the ballpark on a regular basis. That's how this business works. Create a compelling product that lots of people are interested in, that lots of people want to watch, that lots of people want to talk about, and boom, magic is made. It's not that difficult. But you yourselves, the A's fans out there who are wondering, why won't the flagship talk about the team or they're in the race? You don't go to the games. You don't watch on TV. Susan Slusser just put the ratings up the other day. Less than a one on TV. Now, granted, it's up 94% from last year, but you're not even drawing a two. No one watches you on TV, and no one goes to the games.
And you're winning.
So why would you expect the radio to dedicate large portions of time to the product? It's the same reason why you won't go. You don't go because you don't like the stadium, or you don't like ownership, or we don't talk about them because you don't go. If 40,000 people showed up last night, we talk about it. If 40,000 people showed up every night, we'd be talking about it 4 hours a day every day because we know it would win. It doesn't win. That's the sad truth. And it's so difficult to hear that. And I get that. But would you rather be lied to? People complain all the time. Their politicians are lying to them. Their bosses are lying to them. Their spouses and friends lie to them. Would you rather we just lie to you? We could do that. We could create a whole bunch of lies that we sell you on a regular basis. Instead, we've made a business of coming in, having fun, talking about what's popular, being authentic.
That's the thing.
It's the bottom line.
Our job is to talk about the most popular things. It's like being a pop music station. They may not necessarily want to play Kiki, Do You Love Me for the 15th time in a 3-hour block, but people want to hear it. And so you play the hits, right? And you play Taylor Swift and you play Beyonce and Cardi B, 1, 2, 3, look at me. All that stuff. It's what you do because it's good for business. Joe, I've been on the station a long time. I used to be on the morning show many, many years ago, and we talked a ton of A's. And I don't need to, you know, give you a spoiler alert to tell you how that worked out for me in my career, but we weren't that highly rated, even though we were talking a ton about them. And that, by the way, was during their, quote, recent heyday, 2012, 2013. Well, I didn't make it to 2014, but we would have kept talking about them.
It was a good try.
It was a good effort. I hung in there until March. And then when we found out we weren't going to spring training, I couldn't understand why. But I digest. To that point, and to your point, I appreciate you giving the honest assessment. It's not a question of like or dislike of the Oakland A's. We're simply trying to put out the most popular content each and every morning. And when you draw 10,000 people and you're 29th in baseball and TV ratings, you're probably not the most popular topic.
I mean, we're really just doing what you want. That's what this all comes down to. The majority of you want to hear about the Giants and the Niners and in a certain order and the Warriors and the Raiders. And it breaks down in that order. We're just following a formula that you've dictated. Now, if you went out there and made the ratings through the roof for the A's, we'd be talking about it. But you don't want to watch, and that's fine. That's completely fine. You have great reasons. You don't want to go to the park because it's a terrible ballpark. You don't trust ownership. Those are all fine. No one's arguing with that. But if you don't support it, why are we?
And I think Rick Tittle put out a good tweet today talking about this not being the fans' fault, and certainly the 10,400 fans who went to the game last night. It is, of course, not your fault. And if you ask those 10,400 fans how many games you go to each year on the average, I bet you the answer would be between 10 and 20, because the fan base that the A's have is incredibly diehard. It's a small fan base. The 10,000, the 15, the 20,000, I think they're averaging about 18,000 this year. Those 18,000 fans are amazing. They're loyal. The right field crew, these are people who love their A's and they love baseball, but it's the next tier of fans. My brother-in-law, who used to go to 5 or 6 games a year, he doesn't go anymore because he feels disconnected from the product, and there's a lot more people like that, not only in Oakland, but in those surrounding communities. If you're Roy and Martinez, are you going to drive an hour to go to the game? And if so, how many games are you really going to go to anymore?
The worst thing about this, it doesn't make it right, and it's sad. And the saddest thing part about it is, if I'm a player, I don't want to be here. I'm just telling you, and guys are like, okay, this is how the product's being treated. This is what, you know, you look at guys, Crush, you think he's going to get signed, a long-term deal, things aren't happening. You know what? Does guys really want to be here? They might say, I want to be here, and all those things, say all the right things. But when you look at it, you walk in the stadium, you look around, and you see there's not a fan base. You're like, that's where you look at the salaries, how low they are, one of the lowest paid teams in the league. You say, do I really want to be here? Like, don't have a fan base. You heard Larry crying to the fans, please, please, come out. I mean, it's sad. It's really sad. And I'm telling you, you'll lose, you not just the fans, but you'll lose players, because players, they want to go, and they feel like they're being loved.
Just to answer another question, because the text line, obviously, this is why so many people in positions of power will lie to the masses, because the people can't handle it. If you look at the text line right now, it's just complete outrage. You're the flagship. What does that mean? Flagship means we play your games. Play your games.
Right.
Game's not on right now. Game's tonight. Game's last night. Game's tomorrow night. Game will be on. That's what a flagship is. Sorry if that's a tough reality to listen to, but that's how it's going to play out. We're the flagship. We have the games. The game will be on.
Let me ask you this, Joe. How are we judged on this program as far as whether or not we get to keep our jobs or not? Is it how flagshipy we are, or is it how many people listen to us as it pertains to the rating number?
It would be number two.
Right. So it's not about being the flagshipiest morning show of all. If it was that, then we would A's and Raiders and Warriors you into Bolivia. But it's not like that. We have to draw mass audience. We have to talk about what the people want to hear about. And when you draw 10,400, when you're 24th in baseball in percentage of capacity, because I know they have a smaller capacity, so sometimes to just look at the raw number is unfair, because I think their capacity is only about, what, it's about 38,000. They're averaging 52.5% capacity, which is seventh to last. So you can look at whatever metrics you want about ratings, TV, radio, attendance figures, payroll, etc. What it leaves you with is the fact that this is not a marquee attraction in this market.
Reggie in Oakland. Reggie, thanks for the phone call. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, man? First, I'm going to give a shout-out to Papa for the sneak dish. I forgot who he said it to, but you haven't been around here that long. So I love that, Papa. Second, you guys are talking about attendance and all of this, right? We live in the Bay Area. You know how much it costs to live out here? So you got to give props to us for selling out the Coliseum for the biggest sell in history this year. Nobody expected the A's to be on this level right now. So it's been 6 years since our last pennant. Come on, man. Pay attention to what's going on around you. You got to pick and choose your spots.
Let me ask you a follow-up on that. Let me ask you a follow-up. I understand it's expensive and you might not be able to go, but you're not watching on TV either. And you're not listening on the radio because the ratings are really low.
You just said we were up 94%. So in a six-year drought from the playoffs, we have 94% this year. That's a rise. You can't come on now. I'm a real fan. You can't treat me. You sounded like a blogger right now. Don't do me.
How
like
so?
That.
How so? No. Explain that to you me. If you go from zero fans to one fan, that's 100% jump, is it not? But it's still only one fan.
But it's still a rise. We were in a 6-year drought. Come on, man. You know how sports are. Plus,
I do. The Buffalo Sabres have been terrible for 5 years, yet they pull almost a sellout every single night. Why is that? Why do they sell out and you don't?
Yeah, there's this new thing. There's this new thing moving across America called gentrification. It's not a lot of Oaklanders or Bay Area people that are natives here. You got people from everywhere. I went to the Dodgers game. I seen so many blue hats. I was upset. But it happens. You got to pay attention to the climate around you. If you don't do that, then your show's going to get dry. You're appealing to the people that aren't from here. You're not appealing to the people that are from here. You got to start appealing to the people that are from here with your conversation, and then it'll be okay. I listen objectively because I like sports. But sometimes, man, I feel like these dudes sound like bloggers. You got to tone it down a little bit.
All right, so give me an advice. Let's pretend you're the program director for the day. What should we talk about?
Just talk about Bay Area sports in general, man. We had a good game last night.
But when we talk about the Giants, everyone gets mad.
When I talk, the Giants aren't in the pennant race.
But the Giants get the ratings. The Giants have won 3 World Series in the last few years. The Giants spend money. The Giants beat the Dodgers last night. I'm not supposed to talk about them.
I didn't say you weren't supposed to. I said talk about sports.
All right, so I'll talk about the Giants and the Niners. How does that sound?
Talk about who?
The Giants and the Niners.
Well, let's not talk about the Niners. Come on now. They're dry.
They got the most popular quarterback in the NFL right now. It's a major story. There's a reason ESPN talks about him every single day.
Hey, that's blogger talk right there. That's blogger talk.
It's ratings talk. This is a business.
Thanks, Reggie.
I appreciate the insights. Yeah. I mean, it's a diehard fan right there, but we're talking about a business here. Blogger talk. Let me tell you something. There was a reason the bloggers wrote about Tim Tebow every single day when he was coming out of the University of Florida. Does anyone know why?
Because Tim Tebow
was unbelievable for ratings. Everyone complained that Tim Tebow was on TV too much and that ESPN and Fox and everyone spent too much time talking about Tim Tebow, yet everyone was making bank. Why? Because Tim Tebow brought in the ratings. That's why. It's a business. You talk about what people want to hear about, and it's tough. It's tough when you're a fan of something that people aren't that into, by and large, but that's the business.
Yeah.
That's the business. Go out and spend $25 million a year on Chris Davis. Go out and give Matt Chapman that contract. Promote Matt Chapman all over the Bay Area. Go out and sign Clayton Kershaw. Trade for Madison Bumgarner. Make a move. Do something. Show everyone you're committed and that you're going to spend with the best of them. And then maybe the fans will show up with the best of them. And maybe TV will follow with the best of them. And then maybe the radio station will follow with the best of them. But when the team itself handles its business a certain way, how do you expect everyone else to follow? How do you expect everyone else to follow? In Buffalo, go look at the attendance. People think I'm crazy. The Sabres have been straight trash for almost 2 decades now, yet they draw almost 19,000 a night in Buffalo, where it's cold and dark and miserable. During the school year, in the middle of the week, 99% capacity. Why? Why? Explain that to me. Explain how that happens there and it doesn't happen here.
And we've
not
got
even close.
7 million people here. I don't think Buffalo's a city of 7 million last time I checked. So people will say out here, oh, you have so many other options or so much to do. We've got 7 million people. And to Reggie's point about the ratings being up 94%, even with that 94% increase, you're still bottom three in Major League Baseball. So, like you said, if you have one apple and you get 100% more apples, you still only have two apples. You don't have a giant barrel of apples, Coach.
Right.
All right. We have got Alex Pavlovich coming up at 9:10. Who else we got on the show today? We got a ton of stuff coming up here in that last
hour. Megatons.
As the text line goes nuts. Jason Locke at 4 at 9:40. He's in a little under an hour at about 50 minutes. He's got the latest on the Aaron Donald story, which we got to get into. That's coming up next as well. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.